The mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free in every need, whateth us now or taken.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you speak with me okay. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder. Glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now and will be forever. Amen.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
The Lord be with you. With thy spirit. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that follow our Savior. We may walk also through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree in which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'Well, the woman you gave me, She gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so that by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 4. It'll be the text for our sermon today. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What wondrous love is this? Please, you may be seated. Jesus said to Satan again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." This will be the text, and of course all the Old Testament lesson, and I'll look at that with you also. Roy and Sigfield, and Roy, I don't know if you call them, used to have a show that they used tigers in. And if you'll recall, he was mauled by a tiger in his show. Do y'all recall that? Let me see your hands of you. Okay, so you kind of know what I'm talking about there. He was attempting to live among the beast. Jesus also was among the beasts in that garden or that wilderness. And it was a dangerous place for him to be. In fact, in Mark's gospel, the last words it says, he tells us that Jesus was with the wild beast in that place of wilderness. Now, several zookeepers have found out that their animals can be quite harmful. They hurt people if they get loose. Ben, by the way, I saw him in the news last night. Ben was at the St. Louis Zoo. Second time he got out. He got out of the cage, and they had to lock down everything and had to take care of everybody while they calmed him, Ben, down and got him back where he needed to be. So now they're working on trying to keep him from getting out the third time. Good luck on that. That bear was pretty smart. In Sydney, five lions escaped from the zoo. And Effel in zoo in Germany, two lions, two tigers, one bear, and a jaguar escaped. Can you imagine that? All in the zoo. And all those animals are doing exactly what they are supposed to do. It's their very nature. Their nature is to be wild, and their nature is to do things that are contrary to what we think they should do. They can survive in the wilderness alone, but you and I cannot. We need help. And if we're ever caught in a wilderness, this is a time that we would fear the beast. I don't know if you've ever been to certain places, like especially out West Texas, where you can drive for miles and miles and miles. Oh, there's a song like that. Miles and miles of Texas, right? Y'all know the tune better than I do. And Mark can play it for us while we sing it together. The reality is that just so much place that all you see is a little bit of cactus here, a little bit of cactus there. Otherwise, it's wilderness. Wilderness is a place where people do not live. That's what that means. It's a place they do not live. And Lent, during this time of the year then, this being the first Sunday in Lent, is that we're living among the beast, you and I, we are. And we're confronted by all kinds of dangers, and dangers that we really don't want and don't expect. The season of Lent begins with the temptation of our Lord. He takes us to that garden of or that wilderness area. And it seems hardly it could get worse for Jesus than that time. And here the Holy Spirit, he'd just been baptized, the Father had spoken, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." The Holy Spirit came down, descended as a dove, and then strangely enough, the text tells us that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, sent him away, pushed him into a dark place, dark, dry, cold, fierce, lonely. And Mark's gospel says he was with the wild beast. Of course, we always try to forget that myth, and we can always try to look the other way. I do all the time because I'm afraid of certain beasts. I have dogs I don't like. Y'all do too. They chase after us. The story, though, about the wildness is a story about you, and it is also a story about me. Is that shocking? You remember the kids' stories that we used to read to our children when they were growing up? Little Red Riding Hood. It was the beast that was after Little Red Riding Hood, right? And then the Princess and the Frog. I mean, that would be a bad situation, wouldn't it? Kiss the frog, maybe make him into a prince. Beauty and the Beast. You see how all of those fairy tales, Brothers Grimm, were frightening. And as I remember as a kid, I was not joyful at seeing those terrible images because they frightened me. And the book that my mother would read out of would have those beasts, and they wouldn't be good to look at. Adam's rebellious nature, that's the problem. In Genesis, we just read a few minutes ago, God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of that one tree, the fruit of the good of the tree of the good and evil. Don't eat of it, because when the day you eat of it, you're surely going to die. Well, Satan comes to us in the wilderness, as he did to Adam and Eve, and he said, well, you're not really going to die. You're just going to become like God. Told Eve that, especially Eve should have been. Adam, where was he? Not paying attention? He should have been taking care of his wife. He didn't take care of his wife, and so his wife was tempted, and she ate of the fruit, and she gave it to Adam, and that dummy, he ate it too. What is wrong with these people? Anyway, I can tell you what's wrong with them. They have now committed sin, and they are now a part of the problem there is in our world today. There's sin all around us, and it's so easy for us to find. We don't have to look for it much. It will find us. Most of the times, we think we can build our own Eden. We can make things nice in our gardens, and we can do things. But the reality is that even in the places in my own garden at home, with a few flowers growing, the weeds grow better than the flowers do. That's the way it is. And God told Adam, you'll be afflicted that way because you're going to eat of the dust of the ground. You're going to eat of it, but you're going to have to work hard to do it. And so that's why we have to work hard in our lives, certainly before we retire. And then some of us have to work after that too as well. Creation was designed to be a beautiful place. They could have wanted nothing. There's nothing there they could not have wanted. They had all the food they wanted to eat. They had all the trees that they could eat. They had all the plants. They could eat anything. And unfortunately, Satan's word is tempting when it says, did God say? And that's what tempts us too. And once creation was broken with Adam and Eve falling into sin, once it's broken, it's just like Humpty Dumpty. You cannot put it back together again. It's like a tire that blows out on your automobile. You can play with it all you want to, but you're going to have to change that tire because you can't put it back together again. The reality is, though, that there is a way to put it back together again, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. He comes by way of Christmas. He comes to us in the Epiphany season we went through, and the baptism of Jesus and the transfiguration that you saw last week. I hope you had a good sermon on the transfiguration last week. It was a wonderful time to set us up. The baptism of our Lord, anointed by the Father in heaven, Jesus is now heading out to do ministry. But before he can do that, the Spirit himself pushed Jesus into the wilderness. And during the 40 days and 40 nights, now we see there, of course, that there are three temptations. But in reality, he was tempted the whole 40 days he was in the wilderness. Now, what is that 40 days all about? The people of God were in the wilderness 40 years, remember? They were not listening to God, and they wouldn't believe that God was going to deliver them to the land that he was going to give them. And so God punished them, and they were in the wilderness, and all of them died except for Caleb and Caleb and Joshua. And those are the only two people out of all those millions of people in Moses that came through that wilderness into the promised land. From time to time, you and I are in danger. Sometimes we don't know that we're in danger. I know on the highway I came in on the interstate, I saw the trucks that are waiting on the side in order to rescue drivers who have transportation problems. If their car breaks down, those big trucks come after you to kind of get you going again. From time to time, you are in danger. And being in danger, we sometimes are in with the wild beast. And they're frightening to us. I want to be free from that, and you do too. But rather than be forgiven and obedient and servant, when I'm there, when I'm that, I'm really in the wilderness. I want to do what I want to do. And the tempter entices me the same as he does you. Did God really say? Did God really say? During this time of Lent, it's a good idea that we take our catechisms and look again at the various six chief parts that are laid out for us in the small catechism. It's in the large catechism too, and I brought the new large catechism for you to look at today. There was some question about whether or not that was a good document. The catechism itself is fine, but there are essays that are in there. You may find there could have been better essays. We don't know that. But during these 40 days of Lent, you and I are reminded that we should not ignore the mess we're in. We cannot ignore the fact that Satan is around us, tempting us to do things that we know we should not do, to say things from our lips that we know we should not say, and to hear things we know we should not hear. And once again, every year we have sackcloth and ashes. Did y'all have Ash Wednesday service? We did at Mount Olive, and I remember I went to the early service, and in the early service, Pastor Raddatz put the ashes on my forehead, and I, in turn, put them right smack dab on his forehead, too. So he wore them all day, and I wore them the rest of the time until I got to the night. And in the nighttime, we had 30 people there at the 7 o'clock service. I did the 7 o'clock service. And as I was putting the ashes on the forehead, I was thinking about each and every person, that there may very well be a time when I may have to do the burial for them. But now I'm marking them with the sign of the cross. Dust you are, but dust you shall return. But the cross is there to remind us that God has forgiven us our sins through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's what the Lord said. You and I know we need to do it, but we don't seem to be able to. So once a year, we pause for this 40 days of season we call Lent. Strangely enough, actually, Sundays are not a part of Lent. These are actually, they call it Lent, but the midweek services are usually where we work through the doctrines that are there for us to understand. The Lenten text and everything lend itself for us to spend those 40 days in the wilderness of our own. And during that time, it's suggested that we not give up anything. Don't give up meat, or don't give up potatoes, or what all the wonderful things that I love to eat. Pie. I could name a dozen things. Pecan pie, cherry pie, apple pie. Men like pies. Girls like baked goods like cake and donuts, I think. I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm on the edge. We want the things that we want. So 40 days and 40 nights, instead of giving up something, add something to your life. Do you know that if you have the internet, you can actually read the Luther's large catechism online? Now, many of you know but small catechism. We've learned a lot of that. But you can actually go online to Book of Concord and read the large catechism. And I read the large catechism, when I was in seminary. And I was amazed at how wonderful Luther had written that out in the large catechism, and so that he would be able to explain certain doctrines and things that give us some bearings in our lives. And then he went out to visit the congregations and realized the pastors did not know their theology. They didn't know. Priests that had been, they had never learned the scriptures. They had never learned those things. So Luther set out with a small catechism in order to instruct pastors how they are to instruct the young people in their lives. Did you know that since there's actually 46 days in Lent, there are six Sundays that are not counted in Lent. But do you know what the word quarantine means? 40 days. Supposedly, you get the virus, COVID, whatever it is, 40 days, you should be isolated. 40 days set aside for Christ to redeem us and remind us of our sins and bring us to the realization that we need that forgiveness so much. So rest and rejoice in the name of Jesus because of the church and the forgiveness of sins he's given to us. 46 days for you and me, lost, last, rebellious, and dead, are now raised by the grace of God and his marvelous forgiveness of sins. Whereas one man caused death to enter the world, by the one man, Jesus Christ, all those sins were paid for. in Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, he has taken away all of your sins, every one of them, and he has atoned for it. Did you notice in the Old Testament reading we had today that when Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit of the tree they weren't supposed to eat of, they made themselves fig leaf garments. Aren't they nice? Fig leaf garments in Houston, Texas. Won't last long. You wouldn't want, Susan, you wouldn't want to wear that, would you? No. You wouldn't want to wear it either. No. I don't want to wear it either, but that's what they thought they could do, so they made fig leaf clothes. But God knows that was not good enough. They cannot atone for themselves. They cannot pay their price. And so what does God do? He draws the first blood. He kills an animal. Don't know what it was. Probably was a lamb. And from those garments, from that lamb, whatever the animal was he sacrificed, he took the fur and the leather, pulled out the guts, killed the animal right in front of Adam and Eve so they could see how horrible death was, and then God cleaned it off and made garments for them out of the skins that would last much longer. All of that is a picture of how Christ has atoned for our sins. You can't pay for your sins. You aren't holy enough. I'm certainly not holy enough. No one is. And so we have to look to Christ who says, I'm holy enough, and he is holy enough. The Father in heaven said, listen to him, and so we listen to him. And from the cross of Calvary, he says, I forgive you. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And at the cross, Jesus takes away all of our sins, all of them, including mine, including yours, takes them with himself to the cross, and he dies. And when on Easter finally comes, the tomb is empty. That's where all of our sins were buried, in that empty tomb. We look inside there, then there are no more sins to face us. This is my beloved Son, the Father in heaven said. Today we listen again to Jesus, who has been tempted for us in every way that we are, yet he did it without sin. Now, there's a conclusion to all of this, and that's this. Jesus spent a lifetime fighting against these temptations, even from his disciples. There were times where Peter would say, Lord, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You shouldn't. And then Philip said, oh, heck, we might as well go with him to Jerusalem and die. That's where he's headed. And so, you see, that attitude is the disciples wanted to stop Jesus from doing what Jesus needed to do. You and I cannot expect anything different. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. We were given a new name, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're no longer our old self. We are now a new person. But because we're a new people, we're not spared. We're not spared of the trials and temptations of this world. We're not spared of sickness and illness and other things that afflict us. But Jesus ends those words and comforts us in Romans 6. He says, come what you may, all is well. You are safe, you are mine forever. Romans 6, 1 through 6. And read that in comforting of the Holy Spirit through our baptism. And then again, we'll see in our news that the wild beasts get loose. They roam around. I'm not a big fan of the zoo. Are y'all? How many of you really love the zoo? A couple people really love the zoo. My wife hated it. She's a school teacher, and it was always required that she had to take her class to the zoo. And she can't stand the smell and having to take their lunch out there to the zoo. It's one of those things she couldn't stand. But that's a reality that we live among the beasts, and there's a stench there. But at the same time, there's hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us, taken all of our sins away, covering our iniquity just like God covered the iniquity of his children, Adam and Eve. So God covers him. Now on verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In Christ Jesus, our Lord comes to you and me at times when things are difficult. And he ministers to us. Sometimes he uses angels. Sometimes he uses people. But he takes care of us, even in the midst of our terrible journeys that we have to take. I pray the Lord will be with you during this season of Lent as you go through this 40 days, 40 nights. Don't take something away. Don't stop eating meat or chicken, whatever you like. Rather, add some devotional material to you. I would suggest that you could read the whole Gospel of Matthew. Take time to read that. After Lent's over with, the Gospel readings will again come back to Matthew and will take us again through the rest of the passages in the Gospel of Matthew. So maybe you could do that as a suggestion. Another one would be to take the small catechism. Refresh our memory of it. Take it, dust it off. It's in your shelf somewhere. You've gone through it before. Now it's time for you to dust it off again and take a look at the small catechism. And if you get a chance to grab a large catechism, that's all the better. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, I trust, O Lord, from thee. Let us pray for the whole church and God and Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. O Lord, you sought Adam and Eve in the garden and called them to repentance. Seek us when we wander from your holy word and give us contrite hearts to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness and restoration you promise us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, your Son trampled the serpent underfoot and freed us from sin and death by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all called to preach Christ and him crucified. Command your angels to guard them in all their ways and bear them up for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you created the home as a place where we are brought up in the ways of the truth, goodness and mercy. Sustain parents in their sacred charge and grant that our homes would be places of confession and forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant to our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to suffer temptation for our sake. Strengthen us when we are tempted and teach us to rely upon your word as a defense against the evil one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, send your holy angels to protect and keep us in your ways, that no evil may befall us. Graciously behold the needy, the sick, and the troubled, especially of our congregation and those we know. Satisfy us with long life and show us your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have covered the shame of our first parents with animal skin, thereby foreshadowing the perfection sacrifice of the shedding of your Son's blood, by which we are cleansed and clothed. Give us garments of repentance and faith that we may receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world and the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Hymn 575. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. And therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you eat and drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hymn 527, you may be seated until the last stanza when the cross leaves.